Blog Talk Radio. This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
Well, late one night she started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are, and no matter you've done, there will come a time when you can make it on your own, and then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Hi, I'm your host, Ken Burrell. Excited this morning because we've got an awesome guest. Apostle Jerry Roth's going to be with us. Before we get to him, though, I want to share this with you. Healing Light Ministries on Facebook, also Roku TV and YouTube, has just started a brand new program called the Healing Light Ministries Early Morning Show. And I want to promote that because I happen to be the co-host on that, along with Reverend Stan Shell Jr. And we just started it. And yesterday we had, you know, a few glitches at the beginning of the program, but didn't take long before Stan got all that fixed. This morning, everything went smooth as silk. And I want to invite you. It's going to be Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays live at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 Central Time, which is my Central. I'm in Central Time. So join us. It's not your regular preaching type of show. In fact, we talk about everything. We talk about the news, the weather, the time. It's a video morning show based on a radio format, and I'm having fun with it so far. And we have, from the responses I've been seeing on Facebook, the people who are watching it already are absolutely enjoying it and getting blessed. And speaking of getting blessed, we're blessed this morning to have Apostle Jerry Roth with us. Jerry is the founding apostle of the Firehouse Church. Love that name. Absolutely love it. He and I have a lot in common. He's been married to his wife for 38 years. I've been married to mine for 35 years. You can always tell a strong man in God by how his marriage is. If his marriage is good, then his preaching is going to be good too, because it starts at home. Anyhow, over the years, he has served in other churches as a youth pastor, children's pastor, associate pastor, and a worship leader. Now, that's one thing I've never done because I can't sing, but I do have that make that joyful noise unto the Lord thing down pat. You could ask my wife. Anyhow, I want to welcome him right now. Here is our guest today, Apostle Jerry Roth. Jerry, welcome.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ken. It's an honor, privilege to be here with you this morning.
Well, an honor and privilege to have you. So we discussed it a little bit off the air that we were going to be talking about overcoming faith. And I kind of transpose that and call it faith that's overcoming. And I think the song was apropos this morning, too, because many of us need a miracle. Many of us need to have the kind of faith that overcomes the situations that we find ourselves in, because life has situations. There are the good times, there's the bad times, there's the ugly times, and there's the beautiful times. And I believe that God is with us through all those times, but we have to have faith to know this is true. So, Jerry, you go ahead and expound on that if you don't mind.
Well, there's a few scriptures. I know we're familiar with them. You know, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. 1 John 5:4, whoever's born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I continually tell our people at the Firehouse, there will never come a time in your life as a Christian that you won't have to exert faith in some area of your life. The just.
Amen.
By faith. Faith isn't just believing in the existence of God. Demons believe in God, tremble in fear.
That's right.
Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is, as Hebrews 11:6 says, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As we diligently seek him, we will receive
Amen.
The things that we ask him. If we believe, we'll receive whatever we ask for in prayer. And we need overcoming faith. I kind of shared with you on the side, kind of the angle I'm going with it is yes, we have awesome, and I can share some of those if you want. We've had miracles, healings, tremendous breakthroughs where our faith has overcome those giants or those situations, but we've also had times where we've had tremendous losses and tragedies where we believed God, but it didn't happen the way we wanted, but it still took that overcoming faith to overcome
yes.
that loss. It's still stand for God. Sadly, over the years, we've seen many walk away from the church, walk away from God because they took one hit after another, or their faith wasn't developed the way that it needed to be. And we know faith comes by hearing by the word. God's given us the measure of faith, but our faith has increased and developed as pressure, the same as a muscle, as the stresses of life, the challenges come against us, and we believe God, take God at his word, our faith has increased. Every situation that we face and that we overcome, be it the breakthrough comes or maybe it didn't, still even in our losses, our faith still grows stronger because we've had to continue to trust and believe in God to get us through them. And every time he has without fail.
Yes. Amen. You know, as I was telling you before we came on the air, I had prayed about what I was going to do on my YouTube channel this week, and he brought up faith. So I think it's awesome that we have you talking about faith this morning. One of my favorite verses, of course, is in Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And I like to say, you know, it says now faith is. But I like to say faith is now. Because it's what it takes for us to have faith. Is it has to be now. God is ever present in this moment. We have to have our faith in the moment. You already mentioned that it's impossible to please God without faith. But faith will carry you through any circumstance. Over the years, my wife and I, we have faced many, many mountains. I'm sure as you have too. And if it wasn't for our faith in God, we would have never seen those mountains crumble. But the one thing I do know is the mountains will crumble if you exert the faith that God has given you. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell us more.
And one of the simplest definitions I've ever heard of faith is faith is simply getting in agreement with God.
Amen. I like that.
Faith in our faith. No, faith is, you know, even Mark 11:22, have faith in God or have the God kind of faith. Faith is just simply getting in agreement with God. God's promised it. Or, you know, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm familiar with that phrase. But it's just simply getting in agreement with God. And still to this day, it's the greatest testimony. And it's more my wife's. I mean, I'm there with her, obviously, but it's more her testimony. I'm 59 now, but in our mid-20s, just a few years into our marriage, she got pregnant for the first time. I was in the military stationed at Fort Hood, Texas. 6 months into the pregnancy, she ended up going into premature labor. They tried to stop it. They couldn't. Delivered a 1-pound, 9-ounce baby girl. She lived 12 hours and died. Broken hearted, obviously. But anyway, I'm obviously crying out to the Lord, too, but as she's crying out to the Lord said, do you trust me? And my wife said, yes. He said, if you'll trust me, you'll never lose another. Now, it ended up the chief of staff, head doctor over the Army hospital was the one that saw her when we lost the baby, so she had a follow-up appointment. And it turned out he was an atheist, too, and there's a testimony in that. Anyway, he told my wife, just based on her body makeup, whatever, he didn't think she'd ever be able to carry a baby full term. Well, she flat out told him, well, my God promised me if I trust him, believe in him, I'll never lose another. He goes, well, I don't believe in any kind of God. I'm an atheist. And she goes, well, my God's going to prove otherwise. And he said, well, if you do get pregnant again, I personally want to take care of you. That's a miracle in itself. When you're in the military, you're just a number. And when you have a doctor's appointment, you sit there and you wait for hours and all that. Ends up, she gets pregnant again. Comes in to see him from then on out. Every time she had an appointment, she'd walk in, sign in. Within 5 minutes, they're calling her back to see him. And meanwhile, these other ladies have been waiting there forever. So anyway, got to be her doctor. He's taking care of her, and he's still adamant. Don't know how long you're going to be able to carry this baby, da-da-da-da. She's, no, my God said, I don't believe in your God. And they go back and forth, and just, you're going to see otherwise. 6 months into the pregnancy, she goes to the appointment on a Friday. He checks her out. He freaks out. She was ready to deliver. He could see our daughter's head. It's crowning, ready to deliver. She was in pain. And he says, we need to admit you. And again, it's according to your faith we'll be done at you. Even when I share a testament, I tell people, don't go do what my wife did unless your faith's there for it, you know?
No, yeah.
And so he wanted to admit her. And she goes, no, my God said, I'm not going to lose this baby. It is happening. She goes, I got a kindergarten class to teach. I'm going back to work. He said, no, you need to be admitted right now. You're going to deliver this baby. She said, no, I'm not. So they're going back and forth. He said, you're crazy. And she goes, well, I'm just crazy for Jesus. And he's like shaking his head. And he goes, so you're rejecting my orders, my request that you get hospitalized now. She goes, absolutely. So I think she had to sign paperwork and all that mess. And so she leaves, goes back to work. And then he tells her, well, I'll see you before this weekend's over because you're going to deliver this baby. No, I'm not. She comes home, doesn't tell me any of this.
Wow.
I don't even know so much for my discernment, I guess, but I know she's in pain or not. She's in excruciating pain. Goes back to work. She taught kindergarten at the church we're a part of. Well, that Sunday morning, we're in service, sitting on the front row. She's in pain. Again, I don't know any of this. Our pastor's preaching. In the middle of his message, he stops. He looks at my wife, points at her, and says, "Charlotte, you're in pain right now, aren't you?" She starts to cry. And I look at her like, "What?" And he proceeds to prophesy over her, and he didn't know anything. She told nobody. This was her doctor knew, and Dr. Jesus knew. Our pastor
Amen.
Prophesied over her, and he said, "God is healing your womb." He said, "He's going to raise that." He didn't know any of this. "He's going to raise this baby up, and you're going to go full term and deliver on your due date." Everybody's shouting. She's crying. We pray over her. She goes back to the doctor. I think 2 days later, doctor checks her out. He starts crying. Her cervix,
wow.
Her womb was closed. The baby had raised up. Long story short, she delivers our baby August 26th at 8:26 a.m. on her due date. Strong, healthy baby.
Wow.
That's all I have to say. Had to overcome the loss because it was just a year later of, you know, losing our first one that she got pregnant. Had to press through all the pain. The doctor saying you need to be in the hospital. You're going to deliver. God did it. He flat out performed a miracle. There was no explanation. The doctor did nothing. He said, "I've done nothing." And when he delivered a healthy baby, he cried. They flat out said, "You made the believer in me that there is a God."
Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And again, he's chief of staff, which is the head doctor over the entire Darnell Army Hospital in Fort Hood, Texas. Head doctor over there. And it's actually the biggest, I think, farmer Army Hospital.
Wow. You know, being a former military, I was in the Army also. You're absolutely correct. You always hurry up and wait no matter what you're doing in the military, and especially when it comes to hospitals. But that is an amazing testimony. Absolutely amazing. I'm just sitting here. As I was listening, I was like, wow. I bet I said wow 3 times. Sometimes verbally, I know. I did it both ways. I'm telling you. Now, some people that in this day and age don't believe that apostles are for today, and unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there.
I did not know that.
Oh, goodness gracious. You know, and unfortunately, there are people out there who just, you know, proclaim themselves to be an apostle.
Yeah.
And then there are those who are real apostles. And I've been fortunate enough to, over the past year or two, to meet many, well, not many, but, you know, probably 10, 12 real apostles. And one of the ways that I know that an apostle is real is because they, even when they don't know each other, and I've talked to them across the country, they don't know each other, but they're all saying the same thing. You know, I always stand in awe when I hear that because they're all on the same page. They're all talking about the same things. And somebody once asked me, well, how do you know if the apostle is real or not? And my answer is simple. Signs, miracles, and wonders.
Exactly.
The true apostles walk in signs, miracles, and wonders. The true apostles operate in the fivefold ministry. The true apostles have gifts that impact the body of Christ in a positive way. What do you say about
Amen.
That?
I agree. And I believe also along that line, there is an authority that an apostle carries. Not, I'm an apostle, you have to honor me, respect me. It's when he speaks, when he preaches, when he prophesies, there's an authority, an anointing on it. Unlike, quote, and it's not to mean anybody, the average Joe.
Right.
And I believe that's the backing of the call of God and the Spirit of God on him. It's a governmental authority.
You know, one of the things I've noticed about the people I consider true apostles is they understand that they are servants and they must lift everybody else up. They don't lift themselves up, they lift others up. And I'm getting all anointed on this thing this morning. My goodness, here we go with the goosebumps again. I love it when Jesus shows up on this program. I absolutely love it. Oh, Thank you, Jesus. But when you, a true servant of God always, and I do mean always, lifts up those that God has given them responsibility for. You know, I've made more than one pastor mad at me because, you know, I've come to churches and in the front there's a reserved parking spot for Pastor so-and-so, you know. I remember once telling a pastor, I said, you know what you need to do with that sign right there? I said, you need to take it all the way to the other end of the parking lot and park as far as away from this building as you can and leave your spot for a visitor. He looked at me like I was crazy. And it told me a lot about him. It told me a lot about him because he wasn't receiving that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where we get this. You got to worship me and serve me and all this stuff. Jesus didn't act that way. Paul the Apostle didn't act that way.
No.
Now, Paul said, I'm the scum of the earth. Not come and kiss my big ring, you know.
Exactly. You know, I saw just a glimpse of a news article this morning. Apostle Randy Headings from Mississippi had put it up on Facebook, where this apostle was selling now ink pens that guaranteed students to pass their tests without studying.
Wow, what an anointing.
Did I hear a little cynicism in there? I just shook my head. I was like, what?
And that's that kind of nonsense that gives Christianity and the whole apostolic ministry and all that a bad rap.
Yes, it does. But I truly believe, Jerry, that coming soon, very, very, very soon, I believe it's going to happen this year, that, you know, God's already doing it, what I'm about to say. I see it happening all over. But, you know, the Bible said in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh. And he's doing that as we speak. I see people across the country. I have a friend of mine 10 miles from me who is seeing the absolute same kind of miracles, signs, and wonders that I'm seeing 10 miles from me. I see people 1,000 miles from me doing the same thing. You know, I'm looking forward to a time where I like to call it show and tell, where those who are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, those who are truly serving God, those who want to usher in the kingdom of God, because Jesus is coming back sooner than most of us think, those people are operating in the gifts of God. I mean, I have seen more miracles in this past 9 months than I've seen in my 35 years of ministry.
Praise God.
I mean, well over 300 miracles. And I know I have nothing to do with it because it is the Holy Spirit. He does it all. But
yes,
I see this happening across the board. You know, I've seen little children already who are praying for people and they're getting healed instantly. And I see God using old folks like me and you. Well, you're not that old, but older folks like us who are seeing the same kind of miracles, signs, and wonders. Would you share with us a couple of testimonies on some miracles and healings that you've experienced?
4 years ago, I got 5 grandchildren. Well, I got one granddaughter out of the mix. And actually, 2 out of the 3 on my oldest daughter's side, the one the enemy tried to take out, but God intervened with that miracle. 2 of them, their kids, still have some major health issues, and we're still standing and believing God, you know, that overcoming faith. But the daughter, her colon, I believe it was a figure 8. Anyway, had a lot of digestive issues to where she wouldn't digest the food right, couldn't go to the bathroom. She'd be blocked up, had to have repeated shots. And anyway, they did everything they could do. And they said the next step is we're going to have to put an ileostomy bag, not a full-on colostomy, but I think it's called an ileostomy bag, where they're just going to temporarily divert the waste in her colon. They said to give her colon a rest or whatever. We're like, what do you mean? It ain't probably been working. But anyway, that was going to be the next step. Well, obviously, we're no way, you know. And That was on a Friday she got that news. That Sunday morning, had some powerful worship for the first time ever. Our granddaughter actually stayed in the service and was down front. Well, I'm like, just stand behind my daughter, holding on to her, because we're all torn up over it, but still believe in God. And my wife comes off the platform at one point, begins praying and singing and worshiping and even prophesying over my granddaughter. The church is just going nuts, praying, interceding. And we knew God did something. And it was over like a three-day period.
Uh-huh.
3 days later, she was full on. Anytime she would have to go to the bathroom, I'm talking number two. But
right.
Excruciating pain. Well, 3 days later, and they had to pray over her, pray against the spirit of fear, because she was used to being in pain, since she was even scared to attempt to go. Well, 3 days later, full on, she was able to go. God full on healed her.
Wow.
And I mean, we all just went crazy. No ileostomy bag. She'd had a G tube in her stomach, where at times they'd have to give her medicine or some nutrients or whatever. Well, it was mandatory. That had to stay in 6 months. But the 6 month mark, they took that out.
Excellent.
So full on miracle there. No explanation other than God did it. But yeah, we had to, and we'd been praying, but we just had to keep standing, keep praying. And thankfully, the Lord intervened in that. That was a powerful one. This isn't,
yes,
per se, a personal one. It is in a sense. There's a couple. The thing I love is people in my church are getting it. Take it outside of the four walls. You've got the anointing of God. You've got his authority. You've got
a
firehouse church. But I said, this is the filling station. You come here to get filled up, to get set on fire, but then take the fire outside of these four walls. Well, I got some that are really doing it. And I got one couple in particular, man, I'll pray for anybody any chance they get. Well, anyway, that's one guy's sister. She was diagnosed a year or so ago with cancer. I mean, they prayed for her then, and they're believers. Had to go through the chemo and all that, and they got rid of the cancer. Well, now she was having all these side effects of what the chemo does to your body. Major pain, hunched over, couldn't lift her arms above her shoulders. Well, she ends up coming over to their house this past Saturday. This is recent. They prayed for her. They said, man, they all felt the fire of God invade their house. They're all like on the floor, basically. She gets up. She's able to move. She's able to lift her arms. So she's rejoicing just with that, goes home. Next morning, she actually, and because my wife and her text, I mean, they go to a different church, but my wife and her text, and my wife's been praying for her and encouraging her. She calls my wife crying Sunday morning. My wife's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? She's, nothing's wrong. She says, I'm totally healed. I was able to run down the stairs. I've been jumping and spinning. I can raise my hands above my head and worship God. I haven't been able to do that since chemo. God flat out healed her.
Amen.
And again, he needs a brother and sister-in-law in their home to pray for her. And again, I'll tell people, I don't understand sometimes the delays. You pray, you believe. You know, faith now, we believe now. But I continue to tell them, but you got to continue to stand. You got to continue to believe. I mean, what if the woman with the issue of blood gave up, spent all that she had on physician? Obviously heard about Jesus. What if Jesus, well, I've already been believing, or I've already been to the doctor. Sadly, some Christians have that mentality. But
yeah.
Anyway, they continued to believe, and God flat-out healed her, flat-out miracle. So that's a real current one of God even using, you know.
Amen and amen. Well, I have seen in person awesome miracles. I've also seen God heal people over the telephone. And here, I would say the last 3 or 4 months, I would call someone to pray for them, and before they answer the phone, they're getting healed. God is just changing things. I've never experienced what I'm experiencing now, but I'm very thankful for it, because I know that when people get healed, and I do have a requirement when I pray for somebody, I say, I do charge for this. And the charge is you must give a testimony, because your testimony will affect other people. I believe that testimony in Greek and Hebrew means God will do it again. And I go, wow. And he does. And because people give their testimonies, other people reach out, and I keep quite busy praying for folks. I have a friend of mine I prayed for yesterday. She is gifted in healing herself. Lots of miracles are happening in her ministry. But she had some gunk there, a little bit of a congestion in her chest, and she had blood pressure 149 over 96, and her ear was bothering her really bad. And I had prayed for her, and within 15 minutes, every bit of that had left her. Every bit of it. And she took her blood pressure afterwards, and it was like down to 109 over 78 or something. And, you know, it just amazes me. I want to share this story with you, Jerry, because it proves to me how God is operating today that is different than what it was 6 months ago. I recently was invited to a revival, and Pastor Eugene Brown was the evangelist. And when I got there, there was him and I. We were the only two that showed up. And the first thing I said out of my mouth was, well, you never know what God's going to do. And shortly thereafter, there's this guy walking up the street. He has a big limp, and he's talking very loud, and he's talking a little crazy. God said, go talk to him, but be nice. Because God had told me recently that I must look at all people through the eyes of Jesus. Easier said than done. Much easier said than done. So I walk over to this guy, and I say hi, and I introduce him. Hi, I'm Ken. And he is talking cray-cray. I mean, he is talking crazy stuff. He was real upset about somebody stealing fitted out. I want my fitted dollars back. They didn't take my, they shouldn't have taken my money. And he was JC and GD. He was cussing like a sailor. It was, and every time he did that, it, you know, when somebody takes the Lord's name in vain, I don't know about you, but it makes me cringe. I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
I do not like it at all. And God just kept saying with that little small voice of his, be kind, be nice. You know, because be honest with you, I wanted to say, dude, quit cussing like that. But that's not what I did. I was being kind. I was being nice. I listened to the man. Anyhow, he walked off down the street, just acting crazy. And you know, he was, you know, he looked like a homeless guy, to be honest with you. And anyhow, about 20 minutes later, he come back up to the tent. And I looked at him. I said, God told me he had one leg shorter than the other. And he goes, yeah. I said, well, he might have prayed for you. He says, yeah, go ahead. So I said, sit down. And when he sat down, it was the biggest difference I've ever, I've prayed for a lot of people who had one leg shorter than the other, but this thing was 6-7 inches difference, Jerry. It was a really, you know, a major difference, you know? And I had some anointing oil that come from Jerry Cobb's Bible. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's the guy who owns the Bible that is leaking anointing oil. Super. Yeah. So I had a bottle of that with me. And I took one dot and I put it on his forehead. I never said one word. I never prayed one word. And when I looked down, I didn't see it happen. Evangelist Brown didn't see it happen. But his legs were absolutely perfect in less than a nanosecond. It was that fast. Now, the miracle is amazing. But what's really amazing is 2 weeks later, I get a call from Evangelist Brown. He says, you remember that guy we didn't pray for? I said, yeah. He goes, he came back. He said he was in his right mind. He was dressed nice. He was praising God, and he'd come back to worship. See, Jesus had saw that man through his eyes. And I had seen a cussing crazy guy. And it really taught me a lesson about doing our very best to see past what we see physically and do our best to look spiritually at people. Because I believe in all my heart that each and every person that has accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, we all have a purpose and a destiny and a call upon our life. You already know as a pastor, you've got people who are constantly going, I don't know what my call is. I don't know what my purpose is. And the thing is, each and every one of us have a purpose. And the awesome thing is, our Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He does not change his mind about
right.
you, about me, about anybody. He doesn't change his mind. He puts the call and the purpose. Most of us, it takes a while for us to figure out what the call is. But he doesn't change his mind. And I'm thankful for that because I haven't always been, you know, the perfect Christian. Yes, I've been in ministry 35 years, and yes, I've had down times where I wasn't doing the best I could be doing. In fact, there's times I wasn't doing good at all. But God never gave up on me. God never changed his mind. And today I'm seeing things. You know, he told me years ago, he said, there will be a day that you'll see things that you cannot even imagine. And those days have arrived, and it seems to be getting more and more on a daily basis. Now, in your church, I know that you operate in the apostolic, and you said that a lot of your people, I was real excited to hear you say that, you know, you are training your people to go outside of the four walls of your church to operate and show the power of God. What kind of miracles do you see in your church?
Oh, let me think. Again, some of them, we've had the few inside, but then there's been the others outside where those, and basically it's primarily that one couple. I know there's a few others that are, you know, they're on my team and all that, but there's one couple in particular that they're just bold with it. You know, a year or so ago, I think there was an auto mechanic that was in pain, and the same couple, can we pray for you, prayed over, and pain left. I think he had back pain or whatever. I mean, there's multiple. I can't remember all of them, but there's been multiple ones in one couple. I bet that they're doing it outside of the four walls. I got a, you mentioned it earlier, so I want to throw this out. I got a three-year-old grandson. Started almost 2 years ago that during worship, he grabbed, we had the flag that some people worship with. He picked up a flag and was waving it. Been doing that for like 2 years. Well, probably 6 months ago, it was on a Saturday night, we had a guest speaker or whatever. Anyway, he'd asked my wife that he wanted to sing with her on a platform. Okay, he's 3 years old. So first he's kind of, well, you really can't, da-da-da-da-da. The Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, don't you quench that. I'm going to use him.
Wow.
So we let him up on the platform. We give him a microphone. It's off. There's no battery in it or whatever. He's still up there every service at 3 years old. He's on that platform, and he'll be demonstrative. He'll raise his hand. He'll, like, look out at the people and take a hand at us. And you don't know what all he's saying. But, I mean, God's using him mightily. At home, he'll go around to his brother and sister and fire, fire, lay hands on him. He's laying fire on him. On his brother and sister and his mom and his dad, 3 years old. And the people at church are just crazy, you know, about him.
Well, and like I said earlier,
God mightily used him.
I am seeing God using young children like never before. I'm seeing just like babies, 4, 5, 6 years old, walking up, laying hands on people, and those people are getting healed because of their prayers. And I see the same thing with older folks.
There's no lack of faith in children.
Yeah, well, and as we get older, you know, when we get to our age, we have come to an understanding of what faith really means. And faith is obey what God tells you to do and believe he's going to do what he says. In my life, he's always done what he says. I'm still waiting on a few miracles from him, but it wasn't. Yeah, I lost my dad 2 years ago, Jerry, and unfortunately, I fell into depression because my dad was the greatest man I ever knew, and losing him was probably one of the hardest things I've ever gone through. And during that time of depression, I ended up being bedridden. My hips gave out. I couldn't walk. I had a hard time just, you know, walking into our ensuite in my bedroom to use the restroom. It was really very difficult for me. But what happened was a friend of mine came down from North Carolina and insisted on me going to this conference that he was a sound engineer at. And I kept telling him, Steve, man, I can't walk across my bedroom floor. What makes you think I'm going to walk across the parking lot? But I thank God he was very, very persistent, and he finally talked me into it, and I did go. And when we got to the conference, we got out of the car, and he looked at me and said, hey, I want you to meet my friend, Susan Anderson. Now, I'm walking with canes because it was very difficult to walk. And she looked at me. I said, nice to meet you, ma'am. And she looked at me. She said, oh, no, we're not putting up with this. And instantly I thought, you know, some people, I mean, I'm in the South, and some people don't like being called ma'am, you know. I thought I'd made her mad at me. And she pointed a finger at me, and she said, in the name of Jesus, your hits are healed. And I never told her my hits were out. Your hits are healed. Now, you take those canes, and you put them back in your car. You'll never use them again. And that's exactly what's happened. I've never used the canes again. I walk all the time. I'm not in pain any way, shape, manner, or form. And when the day that God healed me of my hips was the day that depression left me. And that was the day the Holy Spirit came in on me like I've never experienced before. And it's just been progressively going forward. And it's like I tell people all the time. That woman, Susan Anderson, was bold. She had no fear whatsoever. Didn't lay hands on me, just pointed a finger and said, you're healed in the name of Jesus. And it happened. That builds your faith up.
I believe we're going to see more of that. That's the greater
faith. I believe so, too.
In Scripture, that's the greater faith.
Yes.
It's just speak the word and you know, my servant will be healed. And there's times,
yes.
I mean, I still, because I enjoy it. Lord leads me, and I let the Spirit in it. So it's about him, not me. But, yeah, there's the times I lay hands on people. I love it. Then there's other times it's flat out. No, you're not doing that today. You just say what I tell you to say.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. People just lay hands on a body part or whatever. And I'll just speak whatever he drops into my spirit. People get in touch and healed. And I want to see more of that we just speak the word and people take it. That's where their faith's at, not that you always got to be anointed with oil or hands laid on you. Again, nothing wrong with any of that. It's like we need to continue to grow and grow beyond. But that's the only way God heals. That if an anointed person speaks under the anointing of God, grab hold of it, and you're healed.
You're absolutely correct.
I want to see more of that.
I do, too, and I am seeing more of it. One of the things I've been learning over the last 7-8 months is that I didn't realize I was doing it, but my religious thinking, the way I, you know, thought you had to do things step by step by step was exactly that, nothing but religious thinking. And I was unknowingly trying to put Jesus in a box, trying to put the Holy Spirit in a box because I believed you had to do things a certain way. That was the way I was taught. That's what I believe. But that has nothing to do with the reality of what God is doing today. He does not belong in a box. The only thing that belongs in a box is a dead body. But a live one has to be outside that box, knowing that he is not limited in any way, shape, manner, or form to perform what he wants done. And he does it, like I said.
Well, Jesus healed people a different way every time.
Yeah, and he healed them all, too. That's the cool part. You know, I was talking about that.
He did what the Father
showed
him, and that's what we need to do instead of, well, the Bible says you lay hands on the sick or anoint with oil. Yeah, that's fine, but how about you hear from God and do what he's showing you the same way Jesus did? We'll see more results as we do that. And I've seen the better results when I hear from him or he shows me what to do. Because I never know from one Sunday. I know when I'm preaching, and even that, you know, as you get on different stuff, even as I'm preaching, but I never know exactly beforehand what the Holy Spirit's going to do or how he's going to move. But I'm praying, especially during the worship. Show me. Do what you want to do. You got full reign here. And then he'll either show me a vision of it or he'll just lead me in it. And boom, he shows up.
And you never know what he's going to do. That's actually the fun part of it. You know?
Yeah.
I had told you that
that's
when I was
walking on water. That's launching into the deep.
When I showed up at that revival, and it was only me and the evangelist there at the beginning, you know. But that day, that man got healed instantly. Some people drove up in a car, and we prayed for them. And the woman that was driving got healed. her passenger got saved, her daughter in the back seat got healed, and none of that. We didn't know any of that was going to happen. You know, I have been, I know people, and at one time I was probably the same way. If I had come up to a meeting or a church and there's only three or four people there, I would be a little disappointed because I wanted to see the, you know, the magnitude. I wanted to see a whole bunch of folks get touched by Jesus, but I've learned to cherish the small show-ups, you know, when there's only four or five people, because I've seen God move mightily. I saw in a small church, God told me to, he said, look, see that little church you drove by the other day? I said, yeah. He said, I want you to go there. I showed up, there was one car in the parking lot, four people in the church, just four. And my first thought was, well, what did you send me here for, Lord? But before that day was over, I saw a blind man receive his sight. And you want your faith to get built up? Watch somebody who can't see all of a sudden be able to see. That will build your faith very, very quickly. And again, only happy because I obeyed what he told me to do. So go to that little church. That's where I want you. And there was four people in the church. Three of the four people got healed that day. Praise Jesus. He's awesome. You know, and another thing, when we were off the air at the beginning of the program, I was talking about apostles and how I know that they're true apostles because they're all on the same page. And listening to you talk today, you are on the same page as all these other guys I'm talking to. And that in itself amazes me. What do you believe? What do you believe God's going to do?
Actually, December of 2018, he gave me a word for last year. That it was going to be a year of rebounding, restoration, and revival. We experienced all that in some small ways, but not to the extent that I felt it and was believing God for. So towards the end of last year, I'm praying, well, Lord, what about this? And then he said, and actually, I had a Christian friend that he's got a son coming and made the banner, and it's on my wall. You probably see some photos. Anyway, he had it on the banner, he had like a dot, 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 dot after the 2019. And the Lord had me focused on it, and he said, who said that ends this year? So I believe this year is going to be even more, and I believe it's going to be more of a fulfillment of people rebounding, bouncing back, receiving restoration, and in a year of revival. And what's crazy is the end of the last year, I was real discouraged. I had like a New Year's Eve service, hardly anybody showed up. I've had other off night meetings. Like our Sunday morning services are great, most people are there all that. But I can bring a guest in, have a Saturday night service or whatever, and I have like half a mind. And I'm just like, where's the fire? Where's the hunger in these people? So anyway, I was frustrated, like big time. I'm telling God, this is all there is, you know. Send me somewhere else, open up other doors or whatever. I'm fed up with this. And my wife knew I was fed up. I had two different local pastor friends on two different Sundays just show up. Both of them saying they had a word. It ended up, they preached. I let them preach. And both the messages were for me, to encourage me. And even since then, it's every Sunday, man, the Holy Spirit's just been. I got up this past Sunday, just through, I read a, I don't know if you're familiar with Lena Voster. She's a prophetess from overseas. Anyway, she's got powerful prophetic words. January 27th, she gave one that's pretty lengthy that over the next 4 weeks, just increased in manifestations and his glory and all this kind of stuff. Well, I believe in God for it, but I'm like, I ain't got to share this with congregation. We'll just wait and see. Well, we started seeing some of that. So I shared it, was just reading it, and I got even some clips of it on my Facebook. This Sunday, just trying to read it, I kept getting hit with the glory, and I'm stumbling words, and I mean, just getting messed up by the Holy Spirit. Then the end of my message, and I'm preaching, the greatest love of all is what I preach Sunday. Well, I'm trying, getting ready to wind it up. Well, no, my wife, when I'm sharing that word from Lena, my wife gets wrecked all the time. She's like laid out on the floor. Nobody touched her. She just laid out. So she missed most of my message, just laid out on the floor. Well, she gets up to her seat. I'm trying to conclude the message, all of a sudden Joy breaks out, my wife and another lady and a few others. And they're like just cranking, Holy Spirit. They're just cracking up as I'm trying to finish the message. And then I'm just getting, then I got done and I cut off the video that I posted. But I got done, had one of my elders close it out, and then I just laid on the floor behind the pulpit, and I was just wrecked. I mean, just fire God all on me. I mean, when the fire really hits me and I get laid out, man, I just shake. I mean, I first got the fire at the Brownsville Revival. I went down there multiple times, and that's a whole different story. But it was like, we got so set on fire there that I'm never going back to dead, lukewarm, compromising religion, none of that mess.
Come on. Come on, man.
And we've kept the fire ever since. And it's just like, you know, so we've stayed on fire ever since. Yeah, we've had the frustration. Like I said, I was like, God, you got to do something. I'm done with this mess. What's he do? Send two pastor friends in, basically, to give me a word. Because I've vetted a little bit to both of them, so it's not like they totally, you know, heard from the Spirit, but they heard from the Spirit that you need to go encourage this man. And both the messages they preached, they were an encouragement. Then I got my wife back, and you know, all that. I had my little pity party whining, you know, and all that.
You mean you go through that too?
And it's all him.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
But again, I've been part of that too. It's just him showing that, because we know unless he builds a house, our labor's in vain. But we know we play a part in that. We've got to walk in faith. We got to be obedient to do what he says to do and all that. But unless he sends the people, unless he builds it. And that's what I was frustrated with. God, if you're in this, you got to do this, that, and all the other. This year is just like, I'm done, you know, whatever. And like I even said, I said, these people just want Sunday morning church, that's what they'll get, but I got to do something else. But yet, you know, God said, all right. And my wife flat out said, she didn't say a whole lot, but now that all this is transpiring, she told me how to do is crying out to the Lord of God, you got to speak to him, you got to show him you're in this. You've called him to this, da 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 da, and he's doing it. Because I ain't done nothing. Just keep showing up and preaching and doing what I know to do, but he's doing it. So,
you know, you and I have one thing.
Just been, I mean, this year's already just been God showing up, and I believe, that's what I just believe it's going to continue to escalate. God's going to continue to pour out his fire, his glory, revival.
I believe that too, Jerry. I am actually very, very excited to be alive for a time such as this, because we have the opportunity to usher in the kingdom. We have the opportunity to show God's power and then tell people why. You know, that's why I call it show and tell. People get healed, you tell them why. Because Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. There's only one way to Jesus, to God, and that is through Jesus. Which, one thing I always do on each program, and we're running out of time fast, this hour went by way too quick. I'm going to invite you to come back, because I don't think we even got close to covering the topics that you wanted to. But it's been very, very edifying to me. But friends and neighbors, those of you who are listening today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. All you have to do is admit you're a sinner, and we're all sinners. We were born into sin. Jerry's a sinner. I'm a sinner. Everybody I know is. So if you confess to Jesus that you are a sinner and that you believe he actually died upon that cross and rose again in 3 days and that he is the Son of God, and you invite him into your life, I'm not promising you a rose garden, but I will promise you this. Your life will change as you know it. For he will come in, and you will be saved from hellfire. You will be saved from spending eternity away from God. And all you have to do is ask him into your heart. Say, Jesus, if you're real, prove it to me. Come into my heart. I remember very well the day I said that, and my life changed, my outlook changed, everything changed, because Jesus became the Lord of my life. Like I said, it doesn't make it's not a bed of roses after that. You'll be challenged. The devil will try to steal away from you. But if you ask him in, I do promise you this, he will come in. Yes. So ask him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we're down to just less than 5 minutes, Jerry. You got anything you'd like to specifically say before we have to get out of here?
No, I just want to encourage your people that you said it earlier, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's ever saved, he's still saving. If he's ever healed, he's still healing. If he's ever delivered, he's still delivering. If he's ever baptized anybody with the Holy Ghost and fire, that's a whole other message. We leave that off too much. He's still baptizing people with the Holy Ghost. And I just want to encourage your people to continue to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Don't settle with wherever you may be at today. Too many times we settle, think this is all there is because maybe the healing, the miracle, the breakthrough hasn't come yet. No, you need to continue to stand in faith. Do all that you know to do, then stand, praising for it in advance, giving thanks in advance. But don't be satisfied with status quo. There's a whole lot more that I know he has for each and every one of us, and we got to go after it. It's without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's those that diligently seek him that he will reward. So we need to be diligently seekers of him. Spend the time in the word. I know all this is all other messages, but get into his word like never before. Get into his presence in the secret place like never before. Years ago, we were in a different location with my church. I was laying behind the pulpit just worshiping. Had some worship music on me, and the fire came on me. I'm shaking profusely under the power of God. And he spoke to me. He said, everything that you desire will ever want for your life and your ministry will come out of times like this. Not the running around, putting your hands to all these other things. It's going to come out of this. Seeking me in the secret place. I wish I could say I've perfectly done that over the years since then, because we'll still get caught up at times. And there are things that we need to do, obviously.
Of course.
But that needs to be the number one. First things first, get into the secret place. Don't be satisfied with the status quo.
You know,
go after God with everything within your being. Believe God for the great things. Believe God for the miracle. Too many, sad to say, they started out believing God for every promise in his word and all that. But they end up, because they've had one hit after another, or they've had some losses, or things didn't go the way they thought, they start basing their faith on their situation or circumstance, and they dumb down the word of God. I put this, I think, on Facebook yesterday. Instead of, because you'll have it, you're counseling somebody, sharing with somebody, and you'll give them a promise out of God's word, and they'll say, yeah, but the doctor said, or yeah, but my body this, or yeah, but my finances. I said, instead of doing that, how about you state what your negative situation is and ask, but God said, and the promise behind it. We're not to adjust our faith and wind it up with overcoming faith. We don't adjust our faith based on our situation and circumstance. Our faith is solely in God and his word, period.
Amen. Absolutely correct. You know, I thank God for faith. I mean, I am a man of faith because I have seen too much not to have faith. I've experienced too much not to believe. I have to believe. And even when I can't see the answers, I still believe the answers are coming. And that's what I think we all need to do. I know we've only got a few seconds left here, but I know one thing is a fact, that Jesus is seeking an intimate relationship with all who believe in him. He truly wants you to be in that secret place. He truly wants to spend time with you. He truly wants to move in your life. But we have to press in and get closer to him so we can learn to hear from him, and he will order our steps, because the Bible says he will order the steps of a righteous man.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time, brother. Man, this went fast.
Well, that went quick.
I love it. God showed up. We're going to have to do it again, okay?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll be sending you an invite here pretty soon. But in the meantime, we got to go. God bless you folks. Be blessed and be a blessing. Thank you once again, Jerry. I truly appreciate you.
Thank you for the invite.
You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.